declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord is king. The world is firmly established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he is coming, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with his truth. Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning we want to join all of creation in bringing glory to your name. The trees, they dance for you. And the seas, they roar for you. The mountains, they point to you. All of creation is asking us to stop and to see how great is our God. And so this morning, we hear the calls, we hear the invitation. And for just a moment, at least, we stop. And we acknowledge that you are indeed great. You are Lord of all, even of us. Would you be glorified in this place, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 32. Two others also, who were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. When they came to the place that's called the Skull, they sacrificed Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right, one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching. But the leader scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, as if he's the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, as we turn to your word, we also want to have our ears in on the prayers you are praying for us, even here and even now. Our great intercessor sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying for us. What is on your heart for us to hear this morning? Oh, Jesus, what is on your heart for us to become this day? What is on your heart, oh Jesus, for us to do as we gladly follow you? Would you let it be known in these moments, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. It's our third week in our series on seeing Jesus. If you've been here, you'll know that we've been looking at different folks in the Gospels who saw Jesus on earth. Of the thousands and thousands who would have passed him by during those 30-something years without even blinking an eye, there were some who stopped in their tracks and noticed him. Some, like Simeon and Anna, who saw Jesus and stopped everything and lifted him high. Some, like that centurion, who understood something of Jesus' authority in a way that left even Jesus himself amazed. There were some who just got him, what he did and what he said and what his heart was all about. And we're spending some weeks trying to learn from them so that we might see him too. Today's story is a bit different. There's not really a checklist to this story of do these things and you will see him. This is really just a story. So I invite you to lean in this morning and let's just see together if we might see some Jesus in all of this. First, let's set the scene. And I know you hate when I do this, but I got to do it anyway because I just think it's really, really helpful. And it's not raising your hand, don't worry. But would you just close your eyes for a moment? Right, there's always the rebels out there that just stare me down at this point. That's okay, I love you anyway. But if you're not that person, would you just close your eyes for a moment? Everyone else is doing it. And as you do, begin to picture Jesus at his crucifixion. In those last moments, as he hung on the cross, see him there. See him. Now put yourself in the scene wherever seems right. See him. See yourself. Zoom out just a little bit until you see those other two crosses. One on his left, one on his right. Pick one. Doesn't really matter which one, but pick one. And look at the person on that cross. What does he look like? Look at him. Also hanging there in agony. This one also in his last moments on earth. Look at him. If he could tell you his story, what would he say? The sign above him gives a hint, criminal. You see it? Mind you, he's on a cross. That's the Roman equivalent of an electric chair. So he didn't just steal a loaf of bread. He's a first-rate criminal. Look at his eyes. What do they tell you he's done? Stay in this place just a little longer. Cold-blooded murderer, perhaps. Maybe worse. What sorts of evil make your stomach turn? He's dying from the death penalty. It could be that. Look at him. Who do you see? Someone who's seen some stuff, really dark stuff, stuff that for the life of him he can never forget. Someone who carries a world of regrets on his back, much heavier than any cross could be. Do his eyes tell of someone who hurt everyone who ever meant anything to him? Do his hands tell of someone who let his demons get the best of him? Someone who has no business being near Jesus Christ unless it's to die the death that he's brought upon himself. Do you see him? Give him a face. It matters this morning that we see him. Give him a face, maybe a name. And open your eyes, but stay in this place. Good job, that's the longest ever. Good job. Stay there. Zoom back out and listen. Listen to the voices. The journey through Jerusalem has finally concluded. They've arrived at Golgotha, that place called the skull. The soldiers nail them to their stakes and they lift them up in the air for all to see. A sign nailed above their heads. Cross number one, criminal. Cross number three, criminal. Cross number two, King of the Jews. Tells us in Matthew it was written in Hebrew and in Latin and in Greek. It was meant to mock him in front of everyone, but if you had eyes to see, you would see that it was a real kind of sign. The truth written above his head in Hebrew for the religious folks to see, this is your king. In Latin for the local folks to see, this is your king. In Greek for all the world to see, this is your king. Not just King of the Jews, King of all. The sign was right there. They didn't see it. The signs of who Jesus is, what he's up to. Still all around us. Sometimes we still miss them too. All three men gasp in pain, excruciating pain. Jesus, in the middle, looks out over the crowd. People spit at him and laugh at his nakedness and mock the sign above his head, King of the Jews. What kind of king dies like this? His body exposed like an animal. His troops hiding out, scared to death. His throne, an instrument of torture. King of the Jews, yeah, right. They mock, they laugh, they shake their fist. Yeah, right. Jesus takes it all in. Imagine his heartache. As bad as his body is breaking, his heart had to have hurt even more. The very people that he came to save, the very ones that he's poured it all out for, here they are, happy to hate him, taking joy in his suffering. He could have ended it all right there. He could have called the angels to get him off the cross, 10,000 of them. Even better, he could have demanded that the ground just open up and swallow them all on the spot. God had done it before. Not this time. Jesus instead cries out, prays a prayer that no one would have ever expected him to pray. A prayer that a real criminal could never have prayed. Father, forgive them. They know not what they not, Father, open their eyes and show them how ignorant they are. Not, Father, put them in their place once and for all. Not, Father, pour down your justice and make them suffer, for I am suffering. Not that kind of prayer, just this. Father, forgive them just as they are. They know not what they do. The two criminals took it all in, and both of them had a choice to make. One joined the crowds, the mocking, the taunting. Come on, man, you're the Messiah. Do something about it. Save yourself, for crying out loud. And while you're at it, save us too. Huh, Messiah. I mean, why wouldn't he respond this way? His life was a total failure up until now anyway. To meet his end on a cross, you know his family was a shame they ever even knew him. Is God done with them? Too far gone, too wretched for anyone to give a care about as he breathed his last breath all alone. May as well take another one down with you when you are totally done with yourself. We see it all the time. You think you're better than us? Someone special? Trying to pray to God for us? Oh, gee, thanks. You think God listens to you? You think he's not just as embarrassed by you as he is by me? You think you're someone? Well, then prove it. You see, you're just like us. You've got nothing for me. You're just like us. And then there's the other man. A criminal just the same, but a heart that chooses a different way. He hears the jeers of the guy a couple crosses over, and it makes him sick. And with all the strength that he has to muster up, he shouts out, "What is wrong with you? Do you not fear God? Don't you know that you are minutes away from meeting your Maker? In this mess you've made of your life, you really have no fear? How can you be so callous, so empty, so in denial of what is coming our way? Look at us, two criminals who are here because we deserve to be here. We knew exactly what we were doing. We knew it was wrong. We are only getting what we deserve. But this man in the middle, this man, he's innocent. He has done nothing. Do you not fear God?" Then he fixes his eyes on that man in the middle. "Jesus, did you know that hardly anyone in the Gospels calls him Jesus? Rabbi, teacher, Lord, hardly anyone calls him Jesus. This guy does. Jesus, just his name. Why Jesus? Because he's not Jewish. He doesn't know the last thing about who Jesus is. He doesn't know about a Messiah or a rabbi. He just knows that this man in the middle is no ordinary man. How does he know? What does he have to go on? Just one thing, it seems. Just one thing. Just that prayer that Jesus prayed. That prayer that was the most unexpected prayer this criminal had ever heard. Maybe the only prayer he'd ever heard. For the life of him, he couldn't shake it. His whole life long, when he had screwed up, he had heard lots of things, and that it was anything but prayers. As a kid, when he'd messed up, he could still hear those grown-ups in his home like it was yesterday. "You fool! How could you be so stupid? I'm so ashamed." As a rebellious teenager, those adults in town, you know, "You're not going to amount to anything. The way you're going about it, death or jail, that's it." As an adult, those voices followed him every day. He heard them again and again. "You are worthless. We are done with you." Hanging on that cross, they still shouted the same exact things from below. "Lock him up. Throw away the keys. Forget about him. Write him off. Dispose of him once and for all. He should have never been." Those were the voices he had always known. And the best he knew, he brought it upon himself. Until this man in the middle shouted a different kind of shout. A plea like he had never heard before. "Father, forgive them, all of them. they just don't know. It was the first time. The first time he had heard compassion in the face of hatred. It was the first time he saw a victim turn his mistreatment into love. It was the first time he saw evil give way to tenderness, violence to hope, failure to and sin to forgiveness. Father, forgive them. All of them. All of them. Even a criminal who deserves this cross. Jesus, I don't know who you are. I don't really even hardly know your name. But you've got something that I have never known before. Something that I think I have to have. So Jesus, please, if it's not too much to ask, just remember me when you come into your kingdom. I know, Jesus, I know I have no place asking anything of you. I know you're not like me. You owe me nothing. But I've only got a few moments left on earth. And it's all been a train wreck up until now. So there's really nothing to lose. Jesus, maybe, you're the real deal. How could you pray such a prayer if you weren't? So with my last breath, I'm going to risk one final rejection. I'm going to risk hearing one last time, and who do you think you are? I'm going to just risk it. I'm going to just risk asking if I just might be thought of from time to time when you get to your kingdom. I know, Jesus, I don't deserve to be there. I wouldn't dare even ask for that. I'm just maybe think of me. Maybe. If I can just die today, knowing that the one man who ever took time to pray for me sometimes thinks of me, well, that alone is more peace than I deserve. Jesus hears this humble, simple request. And it could go so many ways. Me, a king, think of you, a failure, not worthy. You didn't even call me Lord, not informed. Look around, buddy. Don't you see I've got a lot on my mind right now? And you want me to think of you? Not a priority. Prove yourself. Start confessing and apologizing for all you've done and say it like you mean it. Not pure. It could have gone so many ways. But then again, this is Jesus. And whenever a sinner humbly acknowledges her desperate state, whenever a child, no matter how lost he is, simply asks for a little bit of Jesus' extravagant grace, it seems to really only ever go one way. Jesus turns from the crowds, and he looks that man in the eyes. It doesn't say it here, but I know it happened. He gave him a wink. Maybe even a smile. Do you ever picture Jesus smiling on the cross? I don't know how he could have said this line without a smile. Today, you will be with me in paradise. You've asked me to maybe think of you from time to time. Oh, my son, don't you know that I don't want to just think of you? I want to be with you. I will live in eternity next to you. I want to get front row seats on watching you become who I have always known you really are. I want to be right there to see that light in your eyes when you finally realize I have only ever loved you. I want to be there to point out that pep in your step that I know you're going to get when you finally learn that I keep no record of wrongs. I want to be the one to tell you every single day for all of eternity, I am not ashamed of you. You are not a fool. You are not just a criminal. You are not a failure, and you are not disposable. Your end is not the cross. Your end is paradise. The first one to check it out with me. The first one to break in heaven. You're that one. Not because you earned it. Not because you even knew how to ask for it. Just because you knew you didn't have a chance without me. And you took a chance on taking me at my prayer, at my word, and seeing if this grace might be amazing enough even for you. Remember me? Please, I can do better than that. I don't have any interest in just remembering you. I want nothing less than to be with you, to live out all of my days in paradise with you. That's amazing. That is grace. A Jesus who actually wants eternity with a criminal, with us. Amazing grace. How could it be? The past 2 weeks, we have gone home with some really helpful pointers for how to be more intentional about seeing Jesus. And I would preach those same sermons again because they're good stuff. If you weren't here, they're good stuff. But right now, get this, another picture. Right next to Simeon and Anna, and that centurion, these people who did all the things they did right, there was this other guy who didn't do anything right. And still, he saw Jesus. Well, he did just one thing right, and that was he knew that he was never in the right. And he took a risk on trying out grace anyway, with nothing to prove his worth, but instead a long record that told why he should be condemned. With no Sunday school answer to give if Jesus were to ask, and do you even know who I am? Well, I heard someone in the crowd say, Jesus, I think that's your name, I don't know. With nothing but an ear that once heard a prayer prayed for him to be forgiven. A prayer prayed that even a criminal might know grace. He heard a prayer, and that prayer struck a chord in his heart that had long ago gone its own way. He heard a prayer that dared him to wonder if this Jesus might have something even for him, not because he deserved it, just because it seemed that Jesus might want to give it. There was just something that happened when he heard that prayer. He decided to take a risk and see if there might be some grace even for the criminal of criminals. If even the most wretched man of all might get to see Jesus. Ask you one more time. You're going to totally roll your eyes. Would you close your eyes once more for a very short amount of time, I promise. Once more. Close your eyes and zoom in till you see Jesus on the cross again. See him there. Zoom out till you see the cross on his left. Okay, zoom in to that cross. closer. See the person on that cross. Does this person look the same as who you saw before? Keep looking. And don't stop until the face you see on that cross is the face you saw in the mirror this morning. Stay there until you see that face. Stay there. You see it? You can open your eyes. Our sins are as his. No less. Jesus' prayer for him was for us. Father, forgive him. Forgive her. The offer to take a risk on his grace, to just see if it might be enough to cover everything. Everything I've ever done, everything I've ever left undone. It is for you today. See yourself. Hear yourself say, Jesus, Maybe remember me. Jesus, maybe hear my prayers from time to time. Maybe think of me sometimes. And hear this response, my child, even better than that. I want to be with you starting today. Today, you guys. Today, beloved children of God, covered by the radical grace of Jesus Christ, today, want to see Jesus? Just believe there might be enough of that grace, even for you. That amazing grace. Want to see Jesus? Just receive it. That's all. Today. It's really that easy. Just believe it. Just receive it. Just take Jesus at his prayer. He meant it. Just take Jesus at his word. It's not about what you've done. It's all about what he has done. Amazing grace is yours today. Just receive it. And see Jesus as paradise begins in you today. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, it is just that easy. Oh, we make it so hard. We say that we don't see you because of all that we've done to upset you, and it's just the exact opposite. All that we've done that is not of your heart. All the more reason to come before you just humbly. Just like that thief, and just say, Jesus, maybe could I have some of that grace too? That's it. That's it. To lay our hearts before you just as they are. And to see you as you look at us and say, my child, paradise for you with me begins today. Let us not make it too hard. Let us just receive it because you are that good. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.